Mrs. Lawrence, room 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in Nuremberg.
Which year was this?
1929.
Did you grow up and have your education in Nuremberg?
I did indeed, yes.
Which school did you go to there?
Well, I went to the normal Volksschule, which is the one that everybody goes to at least until they are 10. From 10 years onwards, you split up into what might be grammar schools or higher education. Or you stayed compulsorily at law school until you were 14. I actually left the normal school when I was 13. I tried to leave at 12. I thought I had a chance of going to a teacher training college at that early age, but although I had passed the tests, it was discovered that I was a year too young. However, I was anxious to leave school, so the next chance I got was to go to what is called the Handelsschule, which was it's a commercial college, from which I attended until the end of the war, where you learned business studies, typing, shorthand, bookkeeping, etc.
What had your father done for a living?
My parents actually got divorced when I was 6. He was at the municipal abattoir. He was a meat inspector. He passed it, whether it was fit for human consumption or not. My mother got married again at the beginning of the war, about a year after the war. She had lived with this man for a couple of years before she married. So I had a father and a stepfather. My stepfather was a civil servant at the local court of justice. He dealt with minor offences like traffic or etc.
Were your father and stepfather in the forces?
Both of them were, yes. Not until, well, my father, I think, must have been called up in something like 42, and my stepfather not until 43, 44.
This is both
because they were older, of course. To start with, they didn't take the older ones.
This was into the army, both of them?
Both of them into the army, yes. Mm.
When the war started, you were only 10, I think.
Yes.
But do you remember the war starting? And
I remember it very vividly. It was a Sunday when the German army marched into Poland. And my parents were in the kitchen. My stepfather and mother and I were in the kitchen when it was announced over the radio. And I remember that both my stepfather and my mother cried. They were extremely upset, because they had been through the First World War. They knew that war was not going to be easy. They were, as I say, they really were upset. And I, of course, couldn't understand it all. I couldn't make head or tail of what all this was about. They tried to explain to me just what war would mean. But as I say, I wasn't terribly shaken by it, only by the fact that they were both crying. To start with, life really went on quite normally. When my mother had to go out to work to a factory, It changed from making toys. Nuremberg is a town where they had a lot of toy factories. It was like Dink toys, metal, little cars, etc. And but they all changed to ammunition. And although I don't remember really the first couple of years too well, I remember going to meet her after work and walking home together. And I have two brothers, and both of them were called up when they were born, when he was, I mean, one was born in 25 and the other one in 27. So they were quite young when war started, but both of them were drafted in to start with to the Arbeitsdienst, which happened at 17, and then to the army proper. My eldest brother got as far as Stalingrad. He managed to get home again. My younger brother, I don't quite know whether he actually was at the front or not. I presume he was, but I haven't really talked to him much about it. They both came back after the war, I suppose towards the end of 1945.
Was your mother conscripted to this munitions work?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, she was. And of course, from that time onward, I was one of these latch key children. I had a key to the flat. She was out. I left with her in the morning to go to school. There was what is called a hort, which is a place where you went after school until your parents came home or till it was time for you to go home. Where they tried to keep us occupied with sewing or drawing or painting, etc. During the whole time, really, I felt quite deprived because I wasn't getting much loving from anybody, I felt, because my mother was too worried about her sons, whatever could be spared. As far as food was concerned, it was sent in parcels to them. I don't consider that I had a nice or decent childhood at all. Then, of course, once my stepfather was drafted into the army as well, there were just the two of us, my mother and myself, and things became a bit better as far as attention is concerned. But of course, then we had really quite bad air raids. One of the memories I have from school is that we learned English. And our English teacher was a woman whom I couldn't make out at all, because quite often she came to the class and she had obviously been crying. I suspected afterwards, after the war, that perhaps she had trouble with the authorities, either because of her husband or something else. She was a married woman. She was obviously an Anglophile, because she instilled in us this idea that English people were somehow very superior. Even during the war, she would tell us about the wonderful fruit markets in London, the way the fruit was laid out. And when I came to London, I could see what she meant. She was telling us about weekends in the country. She really told us an awful lot about life in England, and she was obviously very, very fond of her time that she had spent in England.
Was she talking about upper-class life in England?
It must have been. I think it must have been, because she was telling us about these weekends in country houses. At the same time, she did tell us about the underground, about the double-decker buses, about, as I say, the markets, and the castles, etc. We loved her. We all loved her because she made it all so come alive. And of course, that when eventually I came to England, I was looking forward to it. I was not frightened of coming to a strange country, etc. But as I say, we then started to spend quite a lot of our time in air raid shelters, where we tried to have lessons. Some of the air raids were so nasty that I, for weeks at a time, I really feared for my reason. I thought I was going to go out of my mind. I can't take this. Especially when the bombing had been such that people were buried and there weren't enough people to dig them out. So the places started to smell. When I would go to school, after a raid, I would see limbs lying about and pieces of clothing, etc. It was a horrific time, really.
This is just on Nuremberg.
Nuremberg, yes. And of course, we lived in a house where there were 8 flats, and of course there was a house warden who was obviously a Nazi, and we would sit at night in the shelter and in the cellar underneath the house, and my mother always said, it's very funny, but it is those people who start to pray first. You know, the Nazis who were so-called Christians started praying hard, etc., whereas we just chipped. I was saying to my children the other day, during the Falklands War, there was this minister, Knott, that's his name, I think, who gave bulletins on the radio.
John Knott.
Yes. And I actually called him Bromide, because during the war, when we were sitting in the cellars, there would be this calm voice announcing, so and so many bombers are approaching the town of so and so, and then our town would be mentioned, they're approaching the Stadtgebiet, the town
center.
Well, the Gebiet is really the all the surroundings. It's the
hinterland.
Yes, and then they would come into, and then this was all said in such a very calm voice that I remember it very clearly, and this is what Mr. Knott reminded me of, and I just couldn't bear to listen to him. It was really just like medicine, you know, like Valium. We didn't have a direct hit, but we did have a hit just outside the house. So very often we had no windows, no doors. We would make do with a blanket over the window, the hole that there was. And of course, the last few months, well, the last couple of years, we would have school in the afternoon, whilst in a different school house, where there is another, that school whose home it was, would be having school in the morning, so that We did get some schooling, but it was really, I don't feel I had an education. And then after the war...
Before we go on to after the war, if I can just ask you a few more questions. Did any of the bombs actually fall near you?
Oh yes, Nuremberg was destroyed 85%. So really, there wasn't much left standing at all. And as I say, there were weeks on end when I thought I wasn't going to live through this. I would have to, you know, either I would have to do away with myself or I would have to go into some institution where I would be looked after. I felt I was losing my mind. My nerves were absolutely shattered, and I was a youngster.
So you mean...
I didn't feel I had much to hang on to, really. The war as such, if you ask me what I felt about Hitler and the war as such, really I was an innocent. There were incidents, there were times when we got to school the next day and one of the girls would be sobbing her heart out and we would be told that her father had been taken away. Before the war, when I was little, I remember playing with other children in the street, and there was one girl amongst us, and we were told her father had been sent to Dachau because he'd been a thief. Now, how true that is, or what his crime was, I don't know. But we did hear, I mean, I knew about Dachau when I was little. Only, of course, I didn't know about the gas chambers, etc. But I certainly knew about Dachau. Auschwitz, I don't think I ever heard about. I think we were a bit too far away for that. For us, the concentration camp was Dachau. And this, there was a reign of terror in as much as really nobody dared say anything against Hitler. We were all very much aware that we couldn't make a joke, not that I would have wanted to, but my parents certainly kept a very low profile. I remember them listening to the BBC occasionally, very occasionally. I heard in my bedroom that next door they were listening to something. Just what year that was, I can't tell you. It must have been between 40 and 42, I would think.
So even as a schoolgirl, you were aware of this type of thing, of repression?
Very much, yes. Oh, yes, yes, very much.
Did you know anything about the political attitudes of your parents?
My own father and my mother were social democrats before the war, and as far as I could tell, they didn't change their mind. My stepfather, he was an anarchist. He would have liked the king. And he didn't like Hitler because Hitler was a nobody. He was very disparaging. And of course he could see that Germany was being ruined.
When you say he was a monarchist, do you mean a king of Bavaria or a king of Germany?
Well, of course, he'd been in the First World War. I think he would have liked the King of Bavaria best. I don't know how strong a feeling of being German was at that time. I think Franconians, Bavarians, they never really got on with the Prussians all that well. They always wanted to be separate. But I can't really tell you anything much about that.
Is Nuremberg in Bavaria or Franconia?
Franconia. Which is part of Bavaria. It's Upper Bavaria.
Coming back to the bombing,
yes.
You said that bombs certainly did fall near to you, but, I mean, how near are we talking about? Just a few yards or what?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That one, when we couldn't get in or outside, the house was right in front of it. I mean, there was a huge crater there. And if I show you pictures of Nuremberg, you will see that that there were bombs all around us, of course.
You described the effect of the bombing on yourself,
mm.
But what effect do you think it was having on other people, as far as you can observe?
I think everybody was getting pretty desperate. It was really just a question of survival. You lived from one day to the next. It was said when the soldiers came on furlough, they really quite often went back to their units early because they couldn't stand the bombing. It was a different thing altogether from warfare at the front.
Did it create any hatred of the Allied air crews who were carrying out the bombing?
Well, not for us. This was again a peculiar thing. I ascribe this all to our English teacher. But during school holidays, I would be sent to farms where I made friends with other young people there. And I vividly remember being in the fields making hay next to a wood and fantasizing that we would meet an English airman shot down and what we would say to him, "Where do you come from?" we had sort of questions that we would ask them and where we would hide them. We had holes where we would hide them if we found one. We never did find one, but but that was our useful sort of fantasizing.
But did you not know that the authorities would come down very heavily on anybody who?
I think so, but we were young and pretty sure of ourselves. In the country, there were of course Nazis as well, but on these farms, you could well imagine hiding people.
What about your standard of life as the war went on, getting food and the necessities of life?
Well, I can't honestly say that I was desperately hungry. I mean, I often went to the pantry looking for things and couldn't find things. But I don't think I was desperately hungry. I think that happened more often just after the war. We did have to collect, of course, some paper and toothpaste tubes and bones. Now, this is another thing, bones. We were given, or we could purchase, soap that was made from bones. We knew that the soap was made from bones. It was called Schwimmseife because it floated. It didn't actually, it wasn't hard. It was sort of soft, horrible stuff. But we thought that this was really only from these bones that we collected. We had no idea of what had gone on in concentration camps. I can honestly say that I'm not trying to beautify things, not at all, really. But I can honestly say that neither my parents nor I knew that this soap would be made from bones of humans. Of course, it's all very horrific looking back.
Did you know any Jewish families in your part of Nuremberg?
No, I didn't. But I know that my stepfather collected a dog. And although he didn't say this dog came from a Jewish family, I'm looking back, I'm pretty sure that's what it must have been. It was a lovely Cocker Spaniel, which we had for a long time.
As the war approached its end, things, I think, were rather chaotic.
Yes.
What do you remember about that period?
Well, I remember that my grandmother was in Nuremberg, they tried to defend. So there was a lot of artillery fire, and my grandmother actually was killed on her staircase. She came up from the shelter wanting to try and get some soup for everybody. On the landing, she was hit by a shell, and I think she died more or less instantly. I think we just kept our heads down as far as possible, didn't leave the house. And the first thing that we knew then was that we had tanks and lorries, it was the first Negroes that I ever had seen who entered the city. Everybody had to report to a place where you got where you had to fill in a questionnaire, and then you were given an identity piece of paper. It was pretty chaotic, but it didn't last all that long. I think they were pretty good in establishing the military government, and people had their ration cards. There wasn't much in the shops, but I think there was enough.
Had you expected that it would be the American army that came into Nuremberg?
Yes. We didn't think the Russians would get there before the Americans, and it was the Americans that got there. Of course, I hadn't been to school since the February. There was nothing until after February. And I must admit that when war finished on the 8th of May, I wasn't jubilant.